This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Now, I know when I looked at the practice report, no Bland, Zach Martin, Wanye, and then Diggs, Guyton, CeeDee, Micah, all limited. I know Micah said he was going to play, but did we get any more information from Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy basically said that CeeDee had a good day and felt like that he would be out there going through basically what he did yesterday. There was no repercussions of anything from his AC joint. Micah sounded like he said he had a really good day. He was limited, so he didn't take all the snaps, but he did get into team portions of the practice. And Mike said that he spoke to him this morning and seemed like all things were going forward. So that was some good news. And, you know, the guys that did not practice, now they didn't put rest on them like they would normally do with Zach Martin, Eric Kendricks, I believe. But I think they were just being cautious with the previous injuries, not to get them too much work early in the week. And I think today's more of a barometer when they put the pads on and see how much those guys can do.
How are we planning on stopping Saquon Barkley this weekend, Mickey?
Hijacking the bus on the way to the stadium.
That's good. That's a good option.
Can we start there?
We can start there. Yeah, it just seems like he's going to get his.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, he normally does, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the key is to, you know, keep it within reason. Don't let him end up with, what did he have, like 199 yards from scrimmage or something like that in the game this past week. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You've got who you've got, right? And you're not adding anybody, so you're hoping they're able to play better. I don't know if you got any tricks that you can pull off to do a better job stopping the run. It comes down to my guy against your guy, and you hope you can limit the big runs and, you know, make some plays at some point, getting them into more third and longs and be able to maybe get some pressure on Jalen Hurts. So, hey, this team's 3-5, right? Their three of their last four wins have been against 2-7 teams.
True.
They haven't played the big boys.
No, that's
not so far.
Absolutely true, which might be why I want to try to change the subject and go back to old school Cowboys football. I thought this was just really, really neat. Bill Belichick was talking about Everson Walls.
Yeah.
And he got to coach him for a couple of years, and he just said, I've never seen anybody play like he does. He had a great career, probably should be in the Hall of Fame. I told Everson when we got him, look, Everson, I'm never going to tell anybody to cover the way you do it. I don't know how you do it. I don't believe in it, but I'm going to let you do it your way because you're still successful with it. Like, when we have what is, and I know you're in support of this already, but you have one of the greatest coaches of all time is even pointing out, like, even after all this time, yeah, this guy was amazing. He should probably be in the Hall of Fame. I just think that's really impressive to me.
Yeah, it was. And what you're hoping is some of the guys on that committee are listening, right? I mean, it's one thing for him to say it. You're hoping somebody's listening. And remember, he had him twice. So he had him with the Giants, right? When they won the Super Bowl in 1990. And then he had him with when he was the head coach at Cleveland. Everson ended up his last year or two with the Cleveland Browns. So he knew the guy. And basically what he was trying to say is that the way Everson covered it was kind of unorthodox. It's not like this is how you teach all these techniques. He had a great awareness about what was going on around him. He had a great ability to see the football and to anticipate passes. He always credited his father teaching him how to catch fly balls in baseball. And he said when he was young, he used to like run really flat-footed. And his dad got him playing baseball, got him playing the outfield, and taught him that when you run, you got to run on the fronts of your feet. You got to be on your toes. You can't be flat-footed. And even though he wasn't fast, and I think Belichick pointed that out, and Everson will, he's pretty funny when he talks about his 4.7 in the 40, right?
Nice.
But he understood the game, and he understood patterns, and I think that's what Belichick was talking about. It wasn't like, okay, here's the book of how you play corner. No, you play corner with some instincts. And I remember Bill Parcells talking about Polamalu. Did I say that right? I
think
yes.
That was close. He said that he's hard to game plan for because he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, meaning you can't anticipate where he is going to be because he's just playing football with his eyes. And, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, if we do this, the safety's supposed to do that. And Parcells would say, but I can't anticipate what he's going to do. And that's a hard guy to play against. And I think that was a little bit with Everson. And then think about it, you know, he played corner his whole career with the Cowboys. And basically, when he went to the Giants in 1990, you know, he was playing on the nickel, sort of like a safety, and, you know, made a couple big plays in that Super Bowl game to help the Giants win that year. And one of them was, of all things, stopping a run. And I'm sure Everson wasn't known for his tackling, but he wasn't afraid to go up as a corner and make a tackle. And I think that started from his rookie year when he was an undrafted free agent from Grambling and, you know, shows up at training camp for the rookies and finds out there's like 8 or 10 cornerbacks that they signed after they told him they needed corners and you're our top guy. And then he shows up and they got a dozen corners that he's got to go up against. So, yeah, he was scrapping from the minute he got with the Cowboys because he knew he had to do everything he can do just to make the team. And then he ends up with 11 interceptions his rookie year.
So what I just heard there, Kevin, is that Bill Belichick wasn't biased whenever he said that just because he played for him. Bill Belichick was really actually being very honest. This dude is really good.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's good to see people behind the microphone that are honest and knowledgeable instead of just shooting for the hip, James Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, he apologized.
The guy who said Dak quit
on
the team?
He apologized very quickly. He apologized very quickly last night.
Yeah, but big deal to apologize,
right? That was a bad take,
I mean,
man.
Yeah, you put it out there. How many people, heard you apologize?
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in the newspaper business one time, a guy that I knew that ran a restaurant got accused of sexual assault, right? And front page of the newspaper. A week and a half later, it was basically the charge was dropped. They found out the whole thing was phony. Well, that was in very small type on the Metro section, right? How many people saw that? They saw the accusation. So to me, maybe, I don't know, you just can't have everybody just because they're an athlete behind the microphone and they're qualified to spew off opinions that are half-cocked, right? Know what you're talking about first before you do something like that. Now, everybody, I never knew that James Jones had a, podcast or FS1 show. Now everybody knows it, though, because they know it because he made a big mistake.
That is true.
That is a good point, Mickey. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, I got that off my chest.
We'll catch up with you again tomorrow,
and
good
sir.
You
know what? I'll be here for you.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.